Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Talking about husbands and wives today, this is called Why Are We So Different? You know, when I married my wife, I thought we were just alike. I did. I mean, there's a time I thought we might be cousins. We were so alike. We liked the same food. I mean, our fathers worked for the same company. Our families lived in the same neighborhood. We went to the same school. Our families went to the same church. We liked the same snack food. We liked the same dressing on our salad. I thought, my goodness, I've never met anybody so much alike. But I got thinking, gosh, maybe we're cousins. I don't know. So I did check out the family tree, find out we're not related. But it was amazing after we got married how I found out we were not only not alike, we were so incredibly different. It was amazing. You know, there's an old saying, when two people are just alike, one of you is not needed. God put opposites together. When God had Adam take a nap and he took that rib out to build a woman, he built something that had not existed before. It was a brand new deal. So what we're going to learn today is we're going to learn about how different we are and why that's not a bad thing. We've got to learn how to blend together. It's like two gears meshing together. Denise and I have been married for 40 years. We don't always see things the same way. We don't think the same. She thinks different than me. I think different than her. You know, we get ready to solve a problem. So, well, we're going to do this. But she'll say, well, what about this? I don't know. I didn't think about that because I don't think about what she thinks about. I think about what I think about. Again, if two people are just like, one of you is not needed. There's also, the Bible says, there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, not because you agree, but because you see the problem from a different viewpoint. Well, medically and biblically, God made us two very different because that way when we solve a problem, I see things my wife doesn't see. She sees things I don't see. I hear things she doesn't hear. She hears things I don't hear. It is amazing how two become one. Now, the whole goal is Matthew 5:9, where Jesus taught, said, blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called the children of God. Of course, we've got to go through and do some stuff like what we realize is like peacemakers. What does that mean? We solve problems. Our full-time job as a husband and wife is solving problems. We fix stuff. We make stuff better. Kids, money, our relationships, we're constantly improving on where we are. Now, to help do this today, we're going to go through and just give you some things. So if you've got a pencil and a piece of paper, I highly recommend you write this down. This is real scriptural today about what we're going to do. Everything God made hums with power. Everything. Got power in it. Water's got power in it. My family and I lived a whitewater raft. I tell my kids, though, you go through and you listen to what the coach says. You know, put your life vest on. You don't hang your feet over the side of the raft going down the rapids. The reason there are rapids is because there's rocks underneath that whitewater. You go dangle your little tennis shoe over the side of the raft going down a rapid, that rock's going to snag that shoe and jerk you out of that boat. And you can drown in 3 feet of water in a white rapid river. So don't stick your shoe out of the water. And we go through and we learn about how things work in water, that water will quench your thirst or water can drown you dead. Fire, I love fire. Fire can keep you warm, give you a romantic evening in front of the fireplace, roast a marshmallow or a hot dog. But that same fire can burn you to death. The same fire that provides you with sanity can burn you to death. Well, God made marriage. Marriage is the closest thing to heaven on earth, or it is the closest thing to hell on earth, based on one thing alone, what we do with it. So what we're going to learn today is just some basic job descriptions. Everybody's got a different job in here. And our jobs have changed over the years. As husbands and wives have changed. That's what we do, don't do, can do, shouldn't do. So we're going to try to keep it as biblical as we can. I don't care what year we live in. Try to keep this as biblical as we can. Number one, all men are called to be lovers. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 28. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I love that. So, Jesus loved the church that he gave his life. What is, I'm a lover. That's not a buy a box of candy and some roses lover. I love you. No, not that kind. For God so loved the world, he gave. True love is giving. So the Bible says this in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. To make her holy and clean, he washed her with the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. Instead, we are to she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. Now, I tell people all the time, you love your neighbors, you love yourself. Well, what if you don't love you? Your neighbor's in trouble. I'm to love my wife like I love me. What if I don't love me? My wife's in trouble. I can't give way more love than I've received. There's only one source of love in the universe, and that's God. I cannot give away any more love than I receive from God. Well, how do I receive love from God? In fellowship with him. You become like who you hang with. You know, we perceive, the Bible said next that they said of the disciples, we perceive these ignorant and unlearned men had been with Jesus. They said they've been with Jesus, huh? Because of how they were acting, because we become like who we hang around. It's amazing. So we realize that, lovers said, husbands ought to love their wife as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. For nobody hates his own body, but sins, but feeds it and cares for it just as Christ cares for the church. How do you know how much you love your spouse? Well, how much you love yourself. Well, if you don't love yourself, it's because you don't know that God loves you. So I'm to be a lover, number one. Number two, I'm to be a leader. 1 Corinthians 11:3. As God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man. Man's the head of the woman. The woman's over the children. Children's over the dog. Dog's over the cat. Cat's over the mouse. Mouse over the cheese. There's a pecking order in the kingdom of God. But the word head doesn't mean dictator. Jesus said this, I can only do what I see my Father do. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. The Father and I are one. Jesus turns around to mankind and says, I'm not your boss. I'm not your dictator. He said, listen to me. All things are possible to him that believes. With me, all things are possible. Without me, you cannot do a single thing. Jesus said, without me, nothing shall be possible. But if you believe me, all things are possible. A man should turn around to his wife and say, babe, I'm not your boss. I'm not your dictator. I'm the supplier. What do you need? My job is to go write a check for it, buy it, or start believing God for it. I'm not your dictator. I'm here to meet your need. I'm a lover. I'm a leader. I'm going to lead this family by meeting needs. Jesus was the head of the church, but he said this in Mark. He said, I didn't come here to be served. I came here to serve you. I may be the leader, but I'm here to serve. Leaders don't dictate and dominate. Leaders serve. Let me say it real slow. Leaders don't dictate or dominate. Leaders serve. How can I serve you? Well, help us be better. Well, that's what I want to do. A lover, leader, and a provider. 1 Timothy 5:8, I'm a provider. Any man that does not provide for his own family, especially those of his own house, is worse than an infidel. He is as one who's denied the faith. So I realize something. Why are we so different? Because I have different job description than you do. My job description as a male is to love you, lead you, and provide you. I'm to love, lead, and provide. That's my job. That's not your job. That's my job. Now let's look at the women. Number one, Genesis 2 says this, verse 18. When the Lord said to Adam, it's not good to be alone, I'll make a helper who is just right. Number one job description of all women is you're a helper. Help what? You're to help your husband. Do what? What he's been called and gifted here to do. Well, see, the challenge is if you're here, you don't know what you're doing here. You don't know what you're called. Everybody's called. Everybody's gifted. Why? Well, because your gift makes room for you, brings you before kings, and makes you wealthy. If I don't know what my gift is, how do I know how to make a living? Well, I use my gift to serve my fellow man. That's how I make a living. So, number one, ladies, you're helpers to men who are doing something. Number two, you're a manager of the home. Men are not the head of the home. Women's the head of the home. Says this in 1 Timothy 5:14. So I advise the younger widows that they marry again, have children, and do not leave. Watch this now. They take care of their own homes. Then the enemy will not be able to say anything against them. So what is it? I'm to be a manager of my home. I'm to help my husband. I have a different job description. Why are we so different? Because we're different. I'm to be a helper. I'm helping him fulfill his vision. I'm to manage a home. He's not the head of the home. I'm the wife. I'm the head of the home. He's my head, but I'm the head of the home. And then Titus 2:4 says this. Older women teach the younger women how to love their husbands and love their children. Not the emotional, I'm in love, I love you. Not that kind of love. The serving kind of love. So men, why are we different? We got different job descriptions. I'm to love, I'm to lead, and I provide. What's the lady to do? She's to help him fulfill his vision. She's to manage the home, and she's to love. So that's the only significant difference or likeness is that we're both to love by serving each other. Well, now we realize something. We have different needs. If you talk to most of the counseling centers in America, Christian counseling centers, they'll talk about this. Top four needs of every man is this. Number one need of all men is honor. Men need honor. God needs honor. He likes to be honored. Well, we're made in God's image. Men need honor. That's why men like to go shoot stuff, chop their head off, and hang their head on the wall and brag about it. Shot that, killed that, and shot that. We like to catch fish and have them mounted and hung on the wall. We like to keep our bowling trophies from 1978. Why? It's honor. It's what I did. It's what I accomplished. Well, that is a God-given need. Number two need of all men is sex, not romance. Men really don't need, they don't need candles or music. They don't even need to take a shower. Men just have basic sexual needs, and that's why they have to learn how to be romantic, because they're not real good at it. Well, the top two needs of a woman are completely different. She doesn't need honor. Women don't need it. They like honor, but they don't need it. But a woman does need security. Why? She wants to know, are our needs going to be met tomorrow? Are we going to be able to pay the bills? Am I going to be able to buy food for the kids? And what are we doing here? Her greatest need. The Proverbs 31 woman was a virtuous woman. You ever read Proverbs 31? She's a virtuous woman because she's not worried about her future. Why? Well, winter's coming. I have a coach for all my family. I have food stored up. I've got stuff stored up. My servants are trained. She was talking about, what do you need? So a woman's greatest mental thought is usually in the future. A man's biggest mental thought's in his past. Because why? Well, his biggest need is honor. That's why men talk about the past. Women talk about the future. That's where most fighting happens in husbands and wives. Why is that? Well, I have no honor in my future. I've not been there yet. I've not done anything or accomplished anything. I don't want to talk about what I've not done. I want to talk about what I have done. So if my wife and I are going to get in a conversation, I'm going to mention a lot about what I have done, what I have accomplished. I'm looking for my honor. She needs security. She could care less what I did yesterday. She wants to know what am I going to do tomorrow, because her greatest need is our future. How are we going to get it? How are we going to pay for it? So you can see how the clashes can come. God made us different. Well, the biggest reason it is so we can meet each other's needs. Oh, my goodness, that's so good. And it says this, second thing, women need security. Number two, women need affection. Now, we call it romance. We call it, there's a lot of words attached to it. Woman likes affection, kind thoughts and deeds. You know, Dr. Kevin Lehman wrote a great book called Sex Begins in the Kitchen. Now, he didn't say to have sex in the kitchen, although there's nothing against it in the Bible that I can find. He said, sex begins in the kitchen. What is he trying to tell men is women need romance. They like kind thoughts and deeds and touching. Stuff, touching your wife when you don't want to have sex. That'd be a great thing to do. Just being kind to her, you know, just touching. What is, it's affection. So her needs are completely different than my needs. If you go on, the other needs of a man needs recreational companionship and domestic support. What's that mean? Men grow by getting around other men doing what they're doing, but they're doing it better. I can't grow if I don't get out in fellowship with other men, because I'm going to be provoked to good works. I'm provoked to good works by seeing other men. So recreation, companionship is very important. And then domestic support. Now, a lot of men could live in a tree stump and eat beef jerky three times a day and be totally happy, but not so with a woman. So what he wants, really, most times, he wants domestic support. When I come home from work, I want my house neat. I want it clean. I want supper. I want some domestic support. Now, you got to understand, we're just barely cutting the surface right here. There's other things we have to talk about. So man's need is much different than she needs. She needs security. She needs affirmation. Number three, she needs leadership. If I'm a helper, I can't help you sit on the couch, watch TV, you know, eat a bowl of Cheerios and pass gas. I can't help you do that. Give me a vision. I'm here to help you. But I can't help you do nothing. You understand? So she needs leadership. Then number four, she needs honesty. I used to tell men in our men's retreats, if you ever lie to your wife, get you a .22 pistol and shoot one toe off. Now, I don't mean it literally. I just tell them, why? Because you're never going to stand level again. She'll bring it up 20 years from now. 20 years, I said, you know, you lied 20 years ago and you're probably lying right now. I don't care how innocent you are. Why? Because women must have, please, I'm a helper. You lead, I help you lead, and I need you to provide, that we got income. That's what they're looking for. So all of a sudden we realize, why are we so different? God did it on purpose. Our needs and our job descriptions are very different. So when you get married, what are you trying to do? We're trying to meet those needs. Now, look at this. This is just a secular list, but it is very true. Number one, boys like things, girls like people. Boys like things. Why? Well, God's made us that way. We like things. We like fast cars and guns. Girls like people. You get your first recess break in school, watch boys get together. They don't very often. A little kindergarten boy, first day of school, he'll go out on the playground. He very seldom will meet somebody else and talk. He'll just get somewhere and he'll sit and he'll stare at somebody. He'll just size them up. He doesn't know how to do it in the dark. He just size them. Why? Because he's different than a girl. Girls get on the playground. Boys, they may not talk. They'll throw rocks at each other. They'll hit each other. They'll try to knock each other down. What is it? Well, it's honor that they're looking for. A girl who's looking for security, you let her go out on the playground the first day, she'll meet five new friends. They'll go to talking and what their baby doll's name is and where they're from, about their parents. And they'll pretty much get to know each other on one day at recess. A girl will. Why? God made us different. What I like is not what my wife likes. Goes on and talks about this. Boys love to compete. Girls love to cooperate. You ever wonder why most school clubs are made up of girls? Not very many guys. We're just built different. Some things are important to us that's not important to them. Women care about relationships. Women care about work. You get a bunch of women together, first thing they're going to talk about, who'd you talk to? What were they doing? What were they wearing? What were they thinking? Why? They want to know about the relationship. Men will talk about work. Well, we built four fences and five buildings and two barns. And then a man will want to drive by and show you what he's physically done. Well, a wife sometimes can't do that. She's thinking different. What's important to me is the people in my life, not the things in my life. And so all of a sudden that can create stuff. Men are what we call lunch chasers. Women are nest defenders. Men are lunch chasers. Women are nest defenders. How do you get to this point? Well, I used to teach this all the time. If there were Neanderthals, it doesn't bother my theology at all. Neanderthal leaves the jungle in the morning, goes out, spends all day, leaves his cave, goes out, spends all day in the jungle beating some mastodon to death. Cave woman doesn't go. She stays by the cave, keeps the cave clean, build a cave fire, play with cave kids, fix cave dinner. Well, all of a sudden, you know, the caveman comes home leaving half dead, dragging some mastodon. He'll drop that thing by the fire and he'll just grunt at her. Skin this thing and barbecue it, woman. And the man will just sit down and he'll stare in the fire. And what's he doing? Well, he's thinking. What's he thinking about? Well, he's thinking about, I about got killed today, you know, when I went out there. Woo, I can't do that again. That was just something else. A woman will sit there and look at him and she'll say, what is it? She'll just put the blanket around him, get his belly full of food. Now have a good time. We were made different by God. Now look at this. Men are performance-oriented. Women are relationship-oriented. How fast I ran, how much I did, how long I worked, how much gas I got in my car, how big my tires are, when I can do something about all this. We were made very different. Men are performance-oriented. You look at any men's magazine in the bookstore, Outdoor Life, Field and Stream, Sports Illustrated. The main articles on the front of that, trying to get that man to buy it, are performance-related. It's a performance-related article. How to shoot that deer on the first shot. Catch that bass on the first cast. It's like, oh, have mercy. It's about performance. Women's magazines. You get women's magazines. I saw a Cosmopolitan one time. The lead article on it, and two women were looking at it at the checkout counter. Does he love his mother more than he loves you? Because women are into relationship, men are into performance. And when they talk, their two worlds are coming together. If you know that, you can be a great conversationalist. You can be a blessing to your spouse. If you don't know that, you think, they're crazy. I got to get out of here. They're crazy. No, they're not crazy. They're just different. God put two different people together. Two different people together. Men, if you do a brain test, when a man's asleep at night, 70% of his brain activity shuts down. If you take a brain scan of a man after he's in his deepest sleep, he's gone. Research has shown 70% of the electrical activity shuts down. He's virtually deaf. In a woman, though, when a woman's in her deepest sleep at the same time, 90% of her brain is still fully active. Boom, 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 boom. She can hear, feel, and sort. She doesn't sleep real deep. God made us very, very different. Now look at this. Women have two X chromosomes, which give them a greater variety of color than men. Men don't have one X chromosome. So when what happens? Well, I don't see colors my wife sees. I don't see chartreuse. I don't see purple, a mauve. There's some things I just don't see. That looks like watered down purple to me. I don't see any mauve. What is that? So all of a sudden you have arguments. That's why most men got dressed like they look like they got dressed with the Salvation Army. They're just heading out in what's comfortable. Not that they're colorblind. They just think about colors different. Men see the rainbow. We see the basic colors. We don't see all the other stuff. Again, people, we tell jokes about, comedians tell jokes, where a woman will ask her husband, are you wearing that today? Are you wearing that? And you'll say, well, no, I'm just trying on clothes. No, men don't try on clothes. Yeah, he's wearing that. Why? It feels comfortable. And I've done it my whole life. I've had men in my family do it. When they pull their clothes off, don't wash that, mama. Don't you wash that. I got that broke in. And it's just they like the way it feels. And so we realize we're two very different worlds coming together. Now look at this. And I like this. A woman's peripheral vision is effective almost 180 degrees, while a man's eyesight is configured to long distance. Men are safer long-distance drivers than women. 4 times more men are broadsided in car accidents than women are. Why? Can't see it coming. That's why when a husband's driving the car and the wife's riding on the passenger side, she'll tear the dashboard up. Look out. Watch out. Oh, watch where you're going. And the husband, he'll just go nuts. Dear God, woman, shut up. You're driving me crazy. I didn't even come close to it. Why? He can't see it. Men have long-range vision. That's why they're better night drivers, why they're better hunters. Women have better peripheral vision. The women can see the kids almost all the time. She can see side to side and straight ahead at the same time. And all of a sudden you realize men, their brains, we don't function that way. We just do not function or think the same way. It says this right here. I like this. For every man who can sing in tune, there are 8 women who can sing in tune. I used to want to travel around the country while church choirs are full of women. Well, maybe the men are just wimpy. I think that's a wimpy thing to do. No, they'd like to. They can't carry a tune in a bucket. There are 8 times more women who can sing in tune than men. That's why there's 8 times more women in choirs than there are men. Why? They don't see it. God made us different. Oh, my goodness. It's just incredible when you think about it. It says this right here. Women hear 5 tones. Men only hear 3. That's why you will never hear a man say, but you will hear a woman say, don't you use that tone of voice to me. And a man's like a believer. He's like, what tone? What tone? I didn't hear any tone. And he didn't. He can't hear it. Women hear things, guys, we can't hear. We can see things sometimes in the dark they can't see. You got to understand where your strengths and your weaknesses are. I love that. A woman's skin is 10 times more sensitive to touch than the average other person. 10 times more sensitive. I mean, she can feel things. We used to teach teenagers in dating. Guys don't want to hang off a girl unless they want something, primarily sex. Girls, on the other hand, they've got 10 times the sensors on her skin. A girl loves to touch and hug and cuddle. She's not looking for sex. It just feels good. But you understand, that's not how a man's made. He don't want to hug and touch. Why? Yeah, well, it's hot. Unless he's got sex on his mind. That's why you got so much problem with premarital sex today, because we've not taught them. You've got to put a guard on this right here, because this is how you're made. You're made different than he is. She's made different than you are. You're going to react different if you don't watch out. Not like this. A woman is 4 to 5 times more likely to touch another woman in a conversation than a man is. Women love to touch. It feels good to touch and hug. Like this. When a woman is emotionally cut off or angry with a man, she's likely to say, don't touch me. Now listen, guys, have you ever had that happen to you? Your wife, your man, don't touch me. Well, dear God, I wasn't going to touch you. I wasn't going to look at you. I'm out of here anyhow. I'm out of here. Why? Because we think different. She thinks she's punishing us. Don't touch me. That's not punishing me. I don't want to touch you anyhow. You know, we're not going to have sex. I don't want to touch you. Yet a woman, because she thinks we feel the same way she feels, she'll threaten us with that. And I've tried to explain to the women that men aren't threatened by that. They don't even come close to being with that. We're just so different. A woman is 30 to 40% more connections in her brain than a man does. Between 18 and 24 weeks when a man's in a mother's womb, that mother's body will produce a chemical bath that washes over his brain, and 30 to 40% of connections between the left and right hemisphere will separate. Boom, 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 boom. God designed a female body and a male body to function differently, completely different. We can talk that in a minute right here. Take a brain scan of a man when he's reading. You'll find out that he's virtually deaf. Ladies, you ever gone and had your husband watching a ball game, and all of a sudden he's just sitting there watching a football or baseball game? You think, hey, he's sitting there real quiet. We can talk. And you start talking to him. And he'll sit there. He'll be watching that ball game with you sitting next to him trying to talk to him, and he'll pull a slow move towards you. Turn that head and, whoa, what is it? What is it? And you'll try to share stuff. Aren't you listening to me? No, he's not. A male brain is designed by God to function and look at one thing at a time. Men want to finish one thing at a time. When I finish this, I'll get back to you. Otherwise, he doesn't want to do that. I love that. Well, I like this where many a woman has been accused of making a man miss a turnoff because she was talking to him when he was driving. You ever had this happen? All of a sudden, man's driving down the road and you go, oh, dear God, shut up, woman. You maybe missed my turnoff. Why? Because you're talking to him while he's driving. You ever watch your husband or your father? Ever been on vacation? A man get lost, have to pull off the side of the road and read a road map. You know what the first thing is he'll do? Turn the radio off. Boom. What's he doing that for? Because he cannot read that map and listen at the same time. His brain has been designed different by God. He functions different. God meant for you to be together, but his mind just thinks different. So what we're going to learn here is we're going to learn that the God made us so different than one another. We've got a great blessed future in front of us, but we've got to learn how to do it together. So next lesson, we're going to pick this up, and we're going to talk about the differences in men and women, how they're so unique, so creative, and that you've not made a demon from hell. You've not made some reject. You made a gift from God. It's just they think different. God has given you what you're not good at. So, Father, I pray great grace on every husband and every wife that's listening today. Teach us how to hear your voice. Teach us how to love one another, serve one another, have the greatest marriage that makes others jealous, and they'll ask us about the hope that's in us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.